Hi, and welcome to the first podcast episode, Live Kootenays Podcast. That's what it's called, I guess. And what Live Kootenays Podcast is, it's a celebration of the bringing together that arts and entertainment does. I hope that makes no sense, because I think that's better that way, because I don't really know. The first guest that I wrangled up, just hunted down, Sean Tyler Michaud of the band Toaster. Sean is an amazing guy. You've seen him around. You've either seen him at a show, or you've seen him in the ditch down by the fire hall, or in one of the videos that get passed around. He supports local music, like a few others. The scene is tight. And all the scenes are, and it's all one scene to me, like burlesque, metal, punk, with the horns, the beats, underground hip hops. Everyone knows each other. They're all produced by the same guy. Possibly. There's a few, actually. There's a couple of amazing producers around. They're not, like, hanging their, hanging their tile out because they're so busy. I think that's my theory. That's why you don't see on the park benches. You see your realtor. That's what realtors are for. They're for park benches. I've been to a lot of shows in the last couple of years. And what I can say is there is an abundance of kindness from attendees, and performers, workers, an abundance. It's where it all comes together. It's where communities are made. You see each other having fun. You're like, oh, you can't be such a bad guy. Look at that smile on his face. You see him the next day taking a dump in someone's front yard. You're like, I don't know, but maybe he's just having a bad day. Because you saw him having a normal fun time down at Starbelly Jam. That's what it does. It causes forgiveness, whether it means to or not. And I think we can all say, I can say it anyway, is everyone's awesome. There's no one to impress except yourself. And everyone's there to support you, impress yourself, and help you to get to that part of your life where you're going to impress yourself. That's what I find around here. It's an amazing... I guess from my vantage point, it could be a spectacle. It's not so much a spectacle as it's like, it's very real. And we love reality when reality is good. We make it good by doing these things. So I picked Sean Tyler Michaud, not only because he's so close. Oh, I thought he was there for a sec. Because he's usually very agreeable for a good time. So now it's time for Sean Michaud, right after this cow chewing grass or hay. Do you have somewhere to clip this on?
What's happening here?
Whoa. Is that a worm attacking a beetle, or the beetle attacking... Oh, it's a beetle on a worm, eh?
Where do I just clip it?
Wherever you can. I don't know if it's going to rub on your beard, though. I'm going to have to clip it on your beard. Oh. You know what? Put it right here. Just pinch it.
Cigarette ash on there because I'm an idiot.
Look at that.
It's like eating it. We're trying.
Worm, should we help the worm?
I want to. Are we interfering with... Look at him, he's fucking latched right on there. I don't know.
I'm scared of interfering with nature. But also, I like worms. I don't know what that... What if that's just like a brand new evil due to climate inaction?
Well, I think he's probably been eating worms as long as... Oh, that worm's like, fuck. This is the worst day
ever. Yeah, it looks like he's dying.
Maybe he's got some sort of fucking toxin in him.
That's what I'm thinking. Because it's all sudden curling up.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's over.
There's no saving him.
Maybe it's giving birth, that worm. A nature show with Tim and Sean.
I wish fucking David Attenborough was here.
You are now him. Didn't he die? No?
I don't think so.
Oh, good. He's going to live forever. And what we see here is a tiny little... It's not even that tiny. Look at this. Climate change.
This voracious little creature. Look at that, Sheila.
Leave that carnage in the back.
Anyway.
Well, welcome to the first ever episode of whatever this is going to be called. Live Goonies Podcast. Sponsored by?
Sean Michaud. I don't know. Sponsored by... You gotta
make something up.
Fucking... Richard's Dick Shop.
Richard's Dick Shop.
Come to Richard's Dick Shop.
Hi, I'm Richards. Welcome to my shop. This week's specials come with a complimentary belly rub. Just like, hey.
What are this week's specials?
What are this week's specials, you ask?
Yes!
Well, aren't you conversational? I like that in a human. This week's specials are Crooked Dick, Hooked Dick, and Dripping Dick. Served with our real Canadian maple syrup. $3.99 each. Don't forget, we now offer gluten-free dick. Made with rice flour. Sunday all-you-can-eat dick. $17.99. Kids eat free.
Wow, that's a yummy dick.
Yes, it is. Richard's Dick Shop.
Come to Richard's Dick Shop. We've got the yummiest dicks in town. Come to Richard's Dick Shop.
That's a yummy dick.
I think if you, like, here's my theory on the future, is if we keep trying to polish everything we do and make it, like, a podcast-sounding podcast, what can't AI do with that? They'll just copy it, right? But if you make it kind of shitty and artistic, like in some weird way, what's it going to do? Right? It's not inspired. It has to be inspired by something, right?
If you could find a way to...
Things have to have an element of shittiness.
Record the spark of human interaction. And so that, like... If they tried to emulate it with AI, that you'd be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, and you'd know right away. Yeah,
nice there's try, no, but no.
Because if you make... I watched this. There's a show on Tubi called... And it might be on Prime as well, called Kevin Spencer. Have you seen it? It's an animated show.
I've heard of
it before. It's beautifully shitty.
It's old, right?
Yeah, it's old. It's Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's always smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, it's this bad kid from a bad family. No hope, and it's like devastating and funny. And the best part for me is like, it's how could AI replicate that show? This one, I don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, totally. It's been a long time since I even thought about that show,
Kevin Spencer.
Yeah,
and you've actually seen it is mind boggling.
Yeah,
to me.
It used to be. I remember like as like a fucking late teens or maybe even mid teens. That show was out, maybe on fucking Adult Swim or something.
Back then, if you had like a creative bone and a camera and the ability to edit, you could be on Adult Swim because you would have been one of six guys in Canada doing it.
It's like the last of classical animation kind of, because that shit was in the 90s, early 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah. And right, I'd never before, seen anything like it.
Right before digital animation started really digging in, I'd say. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, but...
Yeah, I think we're searching for that feeling.
Maybe that was the first of Flash animation, or is that classic anime? Classical animation?
I don't know. I'm not a professional. I don't have a shirt that says professional guitar or professional show... Looker.
Watcher. Looker.
Sean, you're in Toaster, and you've had some drama lately, but let's not talk about it. Do you want to talk about it?
Not really. I don't even know what to say about it.
It's not real drama anyway. It's just regular band stuff.
Yeah.
But what I want to ask you, because I have a list of questions. I do, actually.
I can't wait to hear them.
Yeah, I bet. So it is... a podcast. It's not going to be because we're recording right now.
We're podcasting.
About the scene. This scene here in the whole Kootenays, mostly the West Kootenays, because I don't travel that much because I'm busy. But this one I know a little bit better. It's tightness, and you're a member of it. And I was thinking, like, am I a member of it?
Yeah, you are.
Because I've inserted myself. And what does it take to be a member of it? Just insertion.
I think so. Simple insertion, being stoked about it, going to as many shows as you can, even fucking sharing other people's
or making the lunch for the punk band that's playing tonight,
or doing that, or volunteering at the local fucking music festival. Punk music.
There's so many festivals, and the music is cool here because. I see bands that come through town regularly from Vancouver. This is like a stop for a lot of bands. So you see them almost yearly or every other year.
Bands from out of town want to come here.
It's just hard to find a spot.
Well, they want to go play at the Royal in Nelson because of what's been built there.
Yeah.
And you know, we know all about what's been going on down there because... they've been working hard at their music scene for well over a decade.
Yeah.
Those fucking guys.
It's got legs.
Absolutely. And I'm grateful for it. And that it spills over into Castlegar, Slocan Valley, Roslyn, hopefully fucking Trail. And
it's coming.
Weimar, all the small towns, it spilled all... It's crazy. I don't even know what to say.
Well, multi-genres
too. Like, of course, I'm fixated on the punk and metal scene more than anything. But there's always other
and good
genres.
Other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Selkirk College, the music.
That doesn't fucking hurt.
A lot of the people that come out of there are just absolutely talented. And it's fun to watch. And they've got confidence when they come out of there.
Oh yeah,
the confidence, and then fuck yeah, you guys like,
especially
something a lot of us older fuckers didn't have coming out. We didn't get like someone going, "You go get them in music." They're like, "Oh, you better go fucking paint.
Get a real job. What do you mean music? You can't fucking.
You can't even flip a piece of wood properly.
You can't pay mortgage with your fucking paintbrush."
We're gonna take another commercial break from our sponsor.
Billy's Ball Washers.
Billy's Ball Washers.
Tired of kicking around your dirty, filthy balls? I know I am. If you need a ball clean, come on and see Billy. Big Billy Ball Washers. Billy cleans all shaved and sized balls. Soccer balls, footballs, hockey balls, baseballs, beach balls, tennis balls, bocce balls, bear balls, basketballs, tether balls, handballs, cricket balls, pickleballs, dog balls, and even your grandma's balls. He'll even clean your balls between your legs. If you're feeling dirty and if you're in the mood for a proper clean, go ahead and call Billy's Ball Washers. Ask for Steve.
Billy's Ball Washers.
What caused you to pick up the guitar, and what was it like to play it for the first time and realize you liked it?
Everybody I knew was like playing guitar, like electric guitar or drums, and I felt like the bass would be interesting. And I thought about it at like 15, oh, I want to be the bass player. But I never got a bass till I was about like 18 or 19 in Vancouver at the Long. I went and got the Fender Precision and a fucking Roland amp on like payment plan. And I never ever paid any payments on it.
Did you get to keep it?
Yo, that bass I play right now with all the lightning.
That's a free one.
Well, yeah.
That's your free bass.
I've had that since I was like 18.
Yeah.
Well, and you now, you know, the fucking serial numbers rubbed off, the original paint stripped off. It's fucking, doesn't look like anybody else's bass guitar. But,
I think we all have that. I have an alternator in an 84 Civic that got trashed that I didn't pay for.
And I guess the first time I played that bass, I felt like it's going to be a long time before I can ever really fucking sound any good with this thing.
But did you feel determined? I put it down immediately, my first guitar.
For the first couple years, totally, I felt determined, and I would play it quite often, not with really any, like, direction. I would just kind of pick it up and make noise. And then I fucking put it down.
Yeah.
For, like, 2 decades, till I was, like, 40. And then started playing the bass at 40.
What was that like? What did that feel like?
Well, I remember this dude at work in Canmore at this shop, woodworking shop, named Johnny, was like, oh, yeah, I play guitar. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got a bass. You know, I didn't really want to say I play the bass, but I was like, I got a bass. Or if I've played bass, or I got a bass. And I did have that bass, but it was like in pieces. It wasn't even playable. And I ended up finding this $100 bass guitar in Marketplace in Canmore and a shitty amp, and fucking we jammed in the woodworking shop. And he was like a bluesy rock guy. He wanted to do like fucking Led Zeppelin covers and this and that, and he was kind of like pretty okay but really arrogant.
Yeah, nice.
And that's what got me started back up again, was Johnny, and then a few others of us would start jamming at the shop. And there's a dude named Adam, and he fucking had a 7-string and liked to play the metal. And
did you do any shows with these guys?
No.
Just jammed
in the shop.
When did you start doing that? When did you play a first show?
With Toaster.
Yeah?
Yeah. Never stepped foot on his stage till...
No way, eh?
Did it, yeah. Toaster was the first band I've ever... been in that ever did any shows.
Fishy. Yeah.
And at first we were just a cover band, and Toaster was just doing covers, yeah.
Huh.
For like probably 2 years or something, 3 years. Totally different guitarist and
you're like, let's write our drummer. Own song, hey?
Or then Randy came.
Oh, no, Randy was in the band. He was originally a guitarist, and we had a different drummer named Aaron. And Randy was a rhythm guitarist, and we had a lead guitarist slash singer named Mike, and me on the bass. And then we kind of fired Aaron. And he was the drummer, and couldn't find another drummer. So then Randy was like, well, I'll fucking do the drums. I'll do the drums, thank you very much.
Randy, your rhythm. Let's see it.
And fucking... And
oh, Randy!
That's about it.
Yeah.
It was like, hilarious.
Give some rhythm.
He worked hard to get where he's at now.
Oh, it's awesome.
He fucking literally was like, oh, I'll play the drums. And then he did like, I think, 2 or 3 shows as Old Toaster.
He's drumming, singing Randy.
Yeah.
Radney. Okay, I'm going to move on to this question. Do you remember your childhood? Yes or no?
Some parts. Not all of them.
That's the whole answer. Here's the next one. Is there a musical band in the world, or group, or a singer? Well, who is the one that you would drive the furthest for?
That's a good question. At this point, probably Ween. I saw them last year in Spokane, which wasn't far, but I'd definitely drive farther to go see Ween. But it'd have to actually fly. I wouldn't go see Ween in the States.
Yeah.
We know why.
You've lived in other places other than here. Is there a difference? Is Kootenays different in any way?
Kootenays is different than every other place I lived in the aspect of how people are just, it's like a totally different world. Kootenay time is real.
It's real.
People are moving at a different speed here. Lots of people have different priorities than anywhere else. It's way less busy. It's fucking, don't tell anybody. Don't even ask this question.
Yeah. And it's just not worth it.
It's not what you'd hate
it. It just sucks.
It really,
in the end.
When you get used to it, it's even worse.
When you start making friends, it's even worse after that.
The people here.
Oh, the people around here. Okay. No matter what anyone says, the world is warming up. It's a stat. It's hot. Do you have any survival strategies for the future, or do you have any, what's your hope? Does your hope lie in anything?
At this point, I don't know. I guess my hope is that, I guess, the next generation fucking bullshit. I don't know. It's a joke, and it's a sad fucking joke. People have been screaming about it since the 70s, earlier, I'm sure.
And I remember, like, as I grew up, in going to church, going home, going to church, it was a joke. Oh, yeah, right, you know? Vehemently, that's the funniest word.
Even my dad...
Denying that it's real.
My dad says he remembers at a time when he thought and felt that the oceans were just so vast that they could never be polluted, and you could never make a dent in anything. He's 68 years old, so he's not that fucking old. And to have that mindset when you're a kid, and that's still prevalent today, to believe that it's limitless and you could just fucking do what you want.
And that's what we're dealing with, I think. Is this older generation who's in charge, and based off of this is, I shouldn't have put these harsh opinions in. It's supposed to be for everybody. This isn't harsh. It's true. It's not harsh. So you
My
have these people.
Opinion isn't for everybody.
They think the oceans are limitless. They think a book written 2,000 years ago is relevant.
Yeah.
Right. So you have these people in charge. What do you do? Yeah. Because it's a belief I've come to think about is something you that someone you have to love them out of it. There's no way it's with anger. So like they're kind of stuck. So you're in a circling pit of people telling you like, don't, you can't, man. You can't believe in that. You don't read that. You can't look at that. You can't do that. It's not true. It's not true. You leave your tribe.
Yeah.
Right? They're leaving their tribes.
It's a tough one, man. Like, and you have like these old people with limitless, unlimited amounts of dollars lobbying, telling us how climate change isn't real. There's people our age and younger who fucking believe that climate change is a hoax.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. I don't know.
It can't not be because there's more people and people just chucking garbage. Two things. And cows keep farting, sure. But like you can't just mow over all... we're preaching to choirs here because no one's going to...
I work at the fucking dump in Castlegar. a small town in rural BC. And the volume of fucking garbage waste that we throw out is unbelievable.
Yeah. We'll just bury it. Well, until we reach the other side, people will be like, what, there's another side? Okay, next question. We're not sad about it.
We're not pissed off.
Have you ever pulled up to a stoplight, seen a cyclist beside you, rolled your window down, and asked, is your bum sore?
No, I've never asked that. No, I've never asked. I don't think I've asked anybody if their bum's sore. That I can recall.
I don't think I've ever asked a stranger if their bum's sore.
Yeah, maybe my kid after a wipeout when they were little. Is your bum sore? I don't know.
But I have said to someone I'm walking with, and someone is walking funny, I say, it looks like their bum's sore.
Yeah, well, I would definitely tease any friend that I was walking with if they were walking funny as to possible reasons why they might be walking funny. Yeah. I would make different assumptions or different scenarios that could possibly have happened.
I once biked from Moose Jaw to Calgary, and my biggest problem because I had a tailwind was my bum. Was so sore all the time. So I had to stop biking all every day after about 100K or whatever else because my bum was too sore. But when I got off, I didn't want anyone to ask me if my bum's sore.
Interesting.
So I was walking like my bum wasn't sore. Yeah.
Making it more sore by making your bum more sore by walking like you weren't sore. I've never biked that far. So, you know, I've saved myself from sore biking ass by inactivity.
Yeah. That's a question I think was like, that's how the brain works. That's how our perspectives are different. Our brain, our perception is what's real.
Totally.
Right? So my perception of life is I see a guy riding a bike and I try and judge how far they've gone. I check to see if they're wearing one of those diapers, right?
Yeah.
Cycling diapers.
Is this guy for real?
That you can't piss in. Without it stinking, man. I know. And one of my thoughts is always, man, I wonder how far they've gone if their bum's sore. Wouldn't it be nice if you could bike without your bum getting sore?
Couldn't you get one of them big fucking wide granny seats?
Yeah, from a saddle. I kept thinking of like, man, if I had a horse saddle. If I could be biking in the horse saddle right now.
Drill it full of holes like they used to do in the 70s with all their...
Here's another question.
Okay.
Have you ever thought of a business idea, started working on it, only to discover 5 million people already do it?
No. Unfortunately, I never had the motivation to start a business. Maybe I should have. Maybe I still could. I could do concrete. Lots of people do concrete. I don't know.
I had a movie idea once. I started just writing it out. Writing it and writing it and working on it. And then I talked to this guy and I'm like, man, I got this movie idea I'm writing. And, I can't remember the movie's title now.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling him this movie, and it's about these two. It was where these two Catholic guys are start taking out these pedophile priests and shooting them and killing them.
I don't know. I'm not aware of this movie, but I want to watch it now.
Saints. Boondock Saints. That's what it's called.
Were they killing pedophile priests in that movie?
That's that. I don't know. It was very similar to that. Was my idea. Why do you hate pedophiles so much?
Is that the question?
Oh, no, I wish. I didn't write that one down. I'm checking to see if it's Boondock Saints. Yeah, it is.
I've seen that
movie. 1999. Boston Irish Catholic twin brothers are inspired by their faith to cleanse... Because this is when I had a faith. Cleanse their hometown of evil with their own brand of zealous vigilante justice. That's fucked up.
I saw... That's a good movie. The second one sucked, though.
Oh, there's a second one? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
With... What was that fucking guy's name? The detective.
I've got two more questions. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Best part of that movie.
A firefight was here. So funny.
I have two questions left. They're big ones, though.
Mm.
What would you change to make the world better?
The human relationship with oil and roads and cars, I'd try to change it so it was more streetcars, less fucking road-orientated cities, more people-orientated cities, less plastic fucking use, which falls under our relationship with oil and roads and cars. It's all intertwined with oil. So I would change the human relationship with oil.
That's an interesting... It seems utopian. I mean, when you think of a world...
I'm not saying...
Every downtown that has locked-off streets is really fun.
Absolutely. If you go to a downtown core that you can wander around in and there's fucking patios set up and... Like Kelowna down Bernard in the summer these days. Last summer I went down there with the family, and you can't drive down once you get close to the water.
Yeah.
You can't, there's no cars anymore. You used to be cars driving down there the whole time when I was a kid, and you'd fucking breathe in. Yeah. It's fucking so nice. Every downtown core should be built for people and not cars.
Yeah, and then have transit in and out. Just there's no way else to get around half the time. They got to change that. We have to change that.
Something has to change because, I mean, we've created so much more plastic than we were using in the 90s. And we were using a lot of plastic in the 90s. We've more than tripled our use. It's crazy. Everything.
Last question. Would you rather be a clean slave or a filthy, poor, disgusting free person?
Yeah, I'd rather be a poor, disgusting, fucking free person.
Me too.
I feel like I'm a filthy slave who feels like I'm a fucking free person.
Yeah.
But...
What does free feel like?
Yeah, I mean, I like the way I live my life right now. And, you know, pre-paycheck to paycheck, which is fucking fine. We usually have enough food in the fridge pretty much always. Or paydays tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I wish I had a lot of things, but I'm happy with what I got. Calming.
Yeah, I'm calm now. We're going to play a toaster song. What song are we playing?
What song? Bad Day.
Bad Day. bad day. From Toaster.
We love Toaster. I love Toaster.
That's such a good one, man.
If you don't love my band, I don't care.
Well, since I don't have bad day, convenient, then I'm going to play this one. This is my favorite Toaster song right now. This one is Faces.
Rest in peace, Phil. Big love.